ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 entitled Ditti Vows to Kill Indra. We are in chapter 18. This is text number 30.
Vilokya ekanta bhutani bhutani adau prajapatihi स्त्रियं चक्रे स्वदेह अर्थं यया पुंसां मतिः हृता। विलोक्यैकान्तभूतानि भूतान्यादौ प्रजापतिः स्त्रियं चक्रे स्वदेहार्थम् यया पुंसां मतिर्हृता। विलोक्यैकान्तभूतानि भूतान्यादौ प्रजापतिः स्त्रियं चक्रे स्वदेहार्थं यया पुंसां मतिर्हृता। विलोक्यैकान्तभूतानि भूतान्यादौ प्रजापतिः स्त्रियं चक्रे स्वदेहार्थं यया पुंसां मतिर्हृता। विलोक्य सीयिङ्ग् एकान्तभूतानि डिटैच्ड् भूतानि द लिविङ्ग् एन्टिटीस् आदौ in the beginning, prajapatihi, Lord Brahma, striyam, the woman, chakre, created, swadeha, of his body, artham, half, yaya, by whom, pungsam, of men, matihi, the mind, Hrita, carried away. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of the living entities of the universe, saw that all the living entities were unattached. To increase population, he then created woman from the better half of man's body. For woman's behavior carries away a man's mind. Please repeat. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of the living entities of the universe, saw that all the living entities were unattached. To increase population, he then created woman from the better half of man's body. For woman's behavior
carries away
a man's mind. Purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
This entire universe is going on under the spell of sexual attachment, which was created by Lord Brahma to increase the population of the entire universe, not only in human society, but also in other species. As stated by Rishabhadeva in the fifth canto, Pungsah Sriya Mithuni Bhavam Etam. The entire world is going on under the spell of sexual attraction and desire between man and woman. When man and woman unite, the hard knot of this attraction becomes increasingly tight, and thus a man is implicated in the materialistic way of life. This is the illusion of the material world. This illusion acted upon Kashyapa Muni, although he was very learned and advanced in spiritual knowledge. As stated in the Manusamhita 2.215 and Srimad Bhagavatam 9.19.17, Matra Swasra Duhitra Va Naviviktasano Bhavet Balavan Indriyagramo Vidvamsamabhikarshati. A man should not associate with a woman in a solitary place, not even with his mother, sister, or daughter, for the senses are so strong that they lead astray even a person advanced in knowledge. When a man remains in a solitary place with a woman, his sexual desires undoubtedly increase. Therefore, the words ekantabhutani, which are used here, indicate that to avoid sexual desires, one should avoid the company of women as far as possible. Sexual desire is so powerful that one is saturated with it if he stays in a solitary place with any woman, even his mother, sister, or daughter. Om Agnana Timirantasya Gnananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Utaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vilokya ikanta bhutani bhutanyadau prajapatihi Sriyam chakre swadeharham yaya pungsam matirhrata. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of living entities of the universe, saw that the living entities were unattached. To increase population, he then created woman from the better half of man's body, for woman's behavior carries away a man's mind. In the previous text, we have heard, Evam striya jari bhuto vidvanapi manognaya barham ityaha vishvaso natachitram hi yojiti. Although Kashyap Muni was a learned scholar, he was captivated by Diti's artificial behavior, which brought him under her control. Therefore, he assured his wife that he would fulfill her desires. Such a promise by a husband is not at all astonishing. The words used here are very strong. He says, Manognaya striya jari bhuto. He became stunned. Jari bhuta means stupefied, senseless. Why? Because she was manognya. What does manognya mean? Huh? A Hindi word also. Manognya. Charming. Charming. It's been glossed in a few different ways by different acharyas. One acharya says, Vidagdhaya purusha mohana kushalaya. She was expert or clever, vidagdha. And what does that mean? That means purusha mohana kushala. She was expert, very capable of bewildering a man. Viraragava Acharya takes it a step further when he says, Vidvanapi, even though he was a great learned man, vidagdhaya purusha vanchana naipuna yuktaya striya. Jadi bhuta moham prapitaha. He became bewildered by this woman who was endowed with an expertise in cheating man through her cleverness. Jadi bhuta means dull. Jada means dull. So it's kind of like, huh? Okay. He became like this. Whatever you say. So, Kapila Dev, back in the third canto, has told us, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, saying that there really isn't any power that's stronger in this world than the power possessed by a woman to bewilder a man. We have so many strong statements in the Shastras about the women. We don't want to be unfair, but just to give you a sample here, for example, Chanakya Niti Shastra says, Strinam dviguna aharo. Women, they want to eat twice as much as the men. Lajja chapi chaturguna. And they have shyness four times as much as us. Is it not a fact? This is an appreciable quality. Sahasam shadgunam cheva. They're bolder in sixfold. They're more bold than a man in six times six. Kamash chashtagunas prataha, and eight times as much desire. Shall I go on?
You have a list for men?
Yeah, I better have a list for men, right? Untruthfulness, recklessness, guile, foolishness, avarice, uncleanliness, and cruelty. These are a woman's seven natural flaws. Let's just take this word kama, because that's central to today's verse, and dilate on that. What does kama mean? Huh? I'm hearing a lot of different words. Somebody says lust, desire for sense gratification, what else? Huh? It means actually desire in general, but what is the topmost of all desires in this material world, topmost in the sense of strongest? It's this attraction that we've already described. It's this attraction. And we find that throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, sometimes he doesn't make a very clear distinction between... Well, let's backtrack a moment. Let's think about Diti. What was Diti's ambition here? As before, as a matter of fact. Shachinandan Maharaj pointed out for us the other day, this is not the first time around with Diti and Kashyapa. What was it the first time? What did she want? She wanted children. And what does she want this time? She wants children again. So is it actually lust? Or is it a desire for children? It used to be, this is past tense, it used to be a hallmark of Indian civilization that the desire for children was stronger than the desire for sex life. In materialistic societies, it's sometimes not like that. In fact, sometimes they even kill their children just so that they can enjoy sex life. It's a little more elevated, but still, we're not making a distinction here. The desire for children is also sex life. Essentially, from an essential point of view, there really isn't any difference between licit sex and illicit sex. Essentially, they're the same, because both of them are based in this mituni bhava, the attachment to, or the desire to enjoy apart from Krishna or to escape Krishna's authority. Those two things are called bhoga and tyaga, respectively. Or sometimes we call them karma and gyan. But it's the same thing. This is what we do in this material world. Only these two things. And the shackles of material existence are strong through this agency of mituni bhava. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the verse that Prabhupada quotes here, Pungsastriya mituni bhava metam, he says the nature of this hard knot in the heart, we heard again from Shachinandan Maharaj the other day, what did he call it? Gordian knot. You take leather and you get it wet and you let it tighten and you cannot undo that. You cannot undo that. It's so tight. So this is what the knot in our hearts is like. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur dilates on the word mituni bhavam. It doesn't mean just to become two, but it means that it's a double strength attachment. Why is it double attachment? Double strength? Because he's attached to her and she's also attached to him. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and also adds a very interesting point. Let's think about what Prabhupada says about that verse. The first sentence of Prabhupada's purport let's bookmark that for now. But he says, man may become detached from woman. This is a practical perspective, social perspective. Man may become detached from a woman, but woman does not become detached from the man. Even if the man wants to separate, he cannot, because if his knot is slack and her knot is still tight. And that's not just a matter of desire. It's not just, certainly it's not gross sense gratification, it's not even the subtle sense gratification of family and house and griha, kshetra, sutta, apta, vitta, all the things that are listed in the fifth canto verse quoted here. She is bound by something higher than those things as well, but still within the realm of karma. And what's that? What is it that stops her from being detached? It's dharma. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he goes so far as to say in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that dharma is actually the root of all cheating. Dharma is the substrate of Krishna consciousness, and yet it's also the root of all cheating, he says. Yesham tuantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam ityadi. Krishna tells us in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, you cannot become Krishna conscious. Practically speaking, you cannot, unless you're fixed in piety. In other words, unless you're dharmatma, unless you're dharmic. And yet, that will bind you to the material world still. It's not enough, you see. Anyway, so this is the problem that we're dealing with. Now, Diti, she wanted children to kill Indra. Notice that she's not blaming Vishnu. Was Indra the one who killed Hiranyaksha? Was Indra the one who killed Hiranyakashipu? So why does she want to kill Indra? Because you can't blame Vishnu. We're also expert at this. We're vidagdha also. We don't blame Krishna. We usually don't blame the spiritual master. We find somebody else to blame, even though it's actually all coming from the same place. Who created this moha? Is the woman creating the moha for the man? No. Because who created the woman? Brahma. So is Brahma creating the illusion for us? No. Because who created Brahma? Under whose design is he working? Vishnu. Yesterday we attended a wedding. And those who were very attentive, they may have heard the priest describing what he was doing. And he described Kamadev, the inspiration behind marriage, Cupid, the god of love, as we might say, as Trailokya Mohana. We had some strong words from predecessor acharyas. Purusha Mohana Kushala was one of them to describe the woman, but actually Kamadev is Trailokya Mohana, bewilders all the three worlds. And that Kamadev is ultimately just an expansion of whom? Huh? Pradyumna, Krishna, through the Chaturvyuhas. So, Diti was, not only did she want these children, but then because they conceived at an improper time, there's a time and place for everything. There is a time and place for everything. You can't do certain things at certain times. You see? Just like Nanda Maharaj, we find that he was arrested by the agents of Varunadev because he was bathing at the wrong time. There's a time for everything. You have to consider time in all endeavors. It's one of the five factors that Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita. If you do things at the wrong time, you don't get the proper result. So this was their problem. And then she was ashamed because she knew that she was wrong, but she had desire eightfold. And so she was impelled, and he was also weak. And so what happened? They gave birth to demon. And she knew that it was wrong, and he also knew that it was wrong. And then she had the sahasam, the boldness, to approach her husband and say, please go and ask forgiveness from Lord Shiva now that we've offended him. You see? So we all have these tendencies. It's not just the women. It's certainly not just Diti. Diti is so exalted that her nephew is whom? Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is her nephew. You see? Prabhupada describes this in his purports there. In the same family. So, anyway, kama is not the same thing as lust, but the desire is actually the essence of all things. And women have this more than men, at least in the material world. Actually, if we think about it, even in the spiritual world, they have stronger desire also. There's a joke I heard. Masjids are full of men, the mosques, and the temples are full of women. That shows you who's more intelligent, doesn't it? So anyway, these are ordinary material dealings. So therefore, we have to be careful. There's a very nice section in the Bhagavatam that tells us what to do about this. I'll just read very quickly. We heard this the other day. I think it was from maybe Sundar Maharaj, that you should never trust your mind. After capturing animals, a cunning hunter does not put faith in them, for they might run away. Similarly, those who are advanced in spiritual life do not put faith in the mind. Indeed, they remain always vigilant and watch the mind's action. All the learned scholars have given their opinion. The mind is by nature very restless, and one should not make friends with it. If we place full confidence in the mind, it may cheat us at any moment. Even Lord Shiva became agitated upon seeing the Mohini form of Lord Krishna, and Saubhari Muni also fell down from mature stage of yogic perfection. An unchaste woman is very easily carried away by paramours, and it sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramours. If the yogi gives his mind a chance and does not restrain it, his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger, and greed, and they will undoubtedly kill the yogi. We have enough examples of men who fail, isn't it? The mind is the root cause of lust, anger, pride, greed, lamentation, illusion, and fear. Combined, these constitute bondage to fruitive activity. What learned man would put faith in the mind? These are the warnings that we receive from Srila Prabhupada. So many nice things he adds to this in his purport. I don't know if we have really time to dilate on them. But that's the reason we find these very strict injunctions. Do not sit in a solitary place even with your mother, even with your sister, even with your daughter. You should be very careful. This is the Shastric injunction. A person who sees life through Shastra Chakshu rather than Facebook Chakshu, that person will consider these things very carefully. But do we do this? Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to this verse, Matra Swasvadra Hitrava, quoted here in the purport, learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction. It's as if he cancels out the injunction in the first sentence of his purport. What does Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur write about this? It seems to be contradictory. He says, Kimcha stri vishaya kamastu sadacharenaiva shamayatiti sadachara darashyati matreti. In this verse, it is shown to us what constitutes sadachara. Sadachara means the way that you have to act. We've already mentioned there's a time to do anything. There's also a manner in which you do everything or anything. That's called sadachara, or shishtachara, we call it also. It's inherited. Recently in Los Angeles, the head pujari asked me for some, he wanted me to translate something from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. He was curious because he had to set a policy for his departmental meeting. So he wanted to know, do we wave the conch X number of times, or do we wave it Y number of times or Z number of times? He wanted something specific. It's not there. You won't find this information in the Shastra. Mahabharata tells us in another famous shloka, not everything can be codified. The Dharma Shastra, the Smriti Shastra generally, attempts to take our abstract principles and translate them into ground-level reality, into practical policy, in specific times, places, and circumstances. That's why the Dharma Shastra in particular is the single most voluminous body of knowledge that exists in Sanskrit. Across geographical boundaries, through various ages, in different societies, ethnic groups, religious groups, the same principles are trying to be translated into practical terms that we can relate with and follow. Therefore, they cannot get too detailed, and they don't. So what are we supposed to do about that? Krishna advises Uddhava in the 11th canto, there are four pramanas. How many pramanas do we usually read about in Srila Prabhupada's books? Three. What are they? Anuman. Pratyaksha is the first one. That's what you see, what you hear, what your senses tell you. Anuman means what you can process or extrapolate based on what you've perceived with your senses. And shabda means what you hear from authority. But there's a fourth one. What is that? Anybody know the verse? It was quoted the other day, actually. He says, parampara, is that right or is it wrong? It's sort of in between. I'll explain why in a moment. The verse is, shruti pratyaksham aiti hyam anumanam chatushtayam. Krishna says you should understand what is true and false in this world, and thereby you should understand what is to be done and what is not to be done by these four pramanas. What you see, what you can guess, educated guess, we say. Best thing is what the authoritative assertion, what the Shruti tells you, Shabda. But sometimes even then it's not clear. What does Shabda constitute for us? Famous verse from Narottam Das Thakur, I'm thinking. Guru sadhu shastra bhakka chitte te koriya aiko. Shabda practically is divided into these three categories, guru, sadhu, shastra. But even then we find ISKCON has anything in 2016 except for unity, isn't it? Because devotees disagree about what Prabhupada is teaching. That's not unnatural. So this fourth praman called aitihyam, or traditional precedent. In a legal system, we call it legal precedent. Sometimes they even decide cases based on what a previous judge has decided when the law is not entirely clear. You see? It's a very important thing. Because most of the details of what we've been taught by Srila Prabhupada come from his predecessors, and who've got it from their predecessors. It's been practiced since time immemorial. One comes face up against the brick wall of this problem when one tries to study classical music in India. Indian classical music, the Shastra says one thing, and performance practice in 2016 is completely different. There's no mention of it in the Shastra, you see? So tradition is very important. And it's an extension of this, what you said, parampara. Evam parampara praptam. Parampara itself means the acharya parampara. Parampara means one after another after another. Tradition of sadhus. Guru sadhu shastra vakya. Your spiritual master can tell you one thing, but your god brothers and you will not agree on what it means. You see? Therefore the sadhus have a say in this. And this aitihyam can be seen as an extension of the sadhu aspect of Shabda Pramana. That's why Srila Prabhupada usually doesn't give us all four of them, because they can always be condensed into these three. This is the point. Anyway, I've said this because it's an important point, that it's an epistemological thing. Epistemology means pramana. It's how do we know what we know in Krishna consciousness? So Srila Prabhupada says, learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction. He admits it at the very outset. And yet Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's only by sadachar. That is to say, the etiquette that you have received from your predecessors, that you can actually learn how to deal with this. So it seems to be a problem. We can get some further enlightenment about this from Srila Prabhupada, because he mentions in a very clear way in the fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Just for one example of many, many verses and purports, Prabhupada is emphasizing the same general principle. I'm just going to read one of them to give you an idea what he's getting at here. We'll start with text number 4 of chapter 18 of the fourth canto. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. Are you interested in sense gratification? Raise your hand. You don't have to. I'm just joking. But we're all interested in sense gratification. That's why we're in this world. So how do you eat, sleep, mate, and defend? That we've described already. There's a proper way to do things, and there's an improper way to do things. What does Krishna say about this in the end of chapter 16? Anybody know? Close. You're one verse away. Karya karya vijanataha. He says, on the basis of shastra, tasmat shastra pramanoktam, karya karya vijanata. You should discriminate what is to be done and what is not to be done on the basis of shastra. Shastra, we've quoted one example already, is emphasizing this aitihyam can be very valuable for us. Traditional precedent, what you learn. Just like if you play mridanga, you will not find that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to go to somebody who practically teaches you how to do it. Deity worship, I already gave the same example as there. All aspects of life, the details, they're coming from parampara. We have to respect that. Therefore, Prabhupada is writing in the next verse, a foolish person who manufactures his... This is the translation, by the way.
of the verse itself. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, he says, at the present moment, it has become fashionable to disobey the unimpeachable directions given by the acharyas and liberated souls of the past. Presently, people are so fallen that they cannot distinguish between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is hampered by four defects. He's sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to become illusioned. We're not talking she here. We're talking he, mind you. He is sure to commit mistakes, is sure to become illusioned. He has a tendency to cheat others, and his senses are imperfect. Consequently, we have to take direction from the liberated persons. This Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead via persons who are strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of material nature. In this way, Srila Prabhupada is going on. We are all a bodha jata. That's why we're given such strong injunctions as this. Someone may think, well, I'm a cultured person, I'm intelligent, reasonably, I've read Srila Prabhupada's books. This is a little bit extreme. Don't sit with your mother in a solitary place. No. He writes in his purport here, vidvangsam api. Api. Vidvangsam api karshati. Even a learned person has something to fear from this practice. So, now we don't want to give the impression that men are good and women are bad. We've already quoted some negative things. Srila Prabhupada said, men are good, women are also good. We're going to talk in a moment about what we have to learn from women. But the combination is bad. This is the point. When you combine them, it's a very touchy issue. We have four ashrams, isn't it? The brahmacharis, the grihastas, the vanaprastas, and the sannyasis. The brahmachari life means very simple life. Prabhupada said, everything you own, you can hang on a peg. Brahmachari. Vanaprasta is simplifying. He's been complicated, but he's simplifying. Sannyasi is just as a brahmachari, simple, should be. But when you get to the household ashram, then things become infinitely complicated. Householders, raise your hands if you agree with this. Becomes very, very difficult. It's a fact. Those who have experience know. So this is the problem. The men and women have to be combined in a certain way. And the shishtachara, or the sadachara, the injunctions of the shastra, the examples of our predecessors, the sages, the injunctions of the Smriti Shastras in particular get into this kind of detail. That is meant to guide our affairs in this material world. How we eat, how we sleep, how we mate, how we defend. In fact, if we don't carry out our material life in these terms, then Hitopadesh tells us, dharmasya hina pashupis samana. We've become equal to an animal, because an animal is not restrained. An animal does things whimsically also, you see? So this is an important point. Now, the household life, in my personal opinion, happens to be the superior ashram. Why can I make such a bold statement? Because, well, I'm not going to tell you the answer just yet. Let's just first of all quote from the Niti Sar. It's another Smriti Shastra, dating at least from the 13th century, written by Bhadrabhupala. Sounds like a king. He says, what are the qualities of a wife? There are six qualities. Karyeshu dasi. In all ordinary affairs, a wife is an expert assistant. We all can use that sometimes. Karaneshu mantri. In household expenditures especially, she's mantri, she's one's advisor. It's a fact. Rupe cha Lakshmi, in personal beauty, physical beauty, she's like Lakshmi.
Bhojane cha mata. When it's time to eat, she's like your mother. Mothers always try to make you make sure you get everything. You see? Kshamye cha dharti. In forgiveness, she is like the earth. Think about it. How many things do we do to the earth? That's why the earth is called dharti. She bears it. Anyone who's interested in dharma should study very carefully the characteristics of Bhumi Devi. She bears everything, no matter what we throw at her, no matter what we do. Everybody's feet are touching the earth, lower than the straw in the street, if you're interested in that principle. We can learn a lot. Therefore, the Smriti Shastra advises, pujaris, some of them know this, that when we first rise in the morning and we touch our foot to the earth, what do? We ask forgiveness. We say, I respect your character so much, you're bearing everything, including the touch of my foot of all people, so please forgive me. She's called Dharti. And a good wife is also like this. In forgiveness, she bears quietly. You see? We all should be like this, actually. And Shayane Chaveshya, when... How do I translate this? Shayane Chaveshya. In bed, she's like a prostitute. That's what it says. I'm just quoting it. Shad Dharma Yukta Kula Dharma Patni. A good wife has these six characteristics. And finally, there's another nice quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam that kind of ties things all together here. This is in the ninth canto. Ninth canto, chapter 4, text number 66. This is in dealing with Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. Mai nirbaddha hridayaha sadhava samadarshanaha vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya satstriya satpatim yatha. Krishna says, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. So this verse illustrates many things. But the one that I would like to focus on is the fact that, well, let's put it this way. Actually, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, somebody asked him one time, what is the position of women in Krishna consciousness? He said, actually, if you analyze it objectively, we see that women have the superior position in Krishna consciousness. How is that? Because they have all these qualities that we are aspiring for. The men are cursed creatures. They're cursed because they have this purusha abhiman, male ego, and it prohibits them from setting foot in the temple sometimes. We've already described that. It prohibits them from tolerating things the way women can do. We've already described that. It prohibits them in so many ways. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the Gayatri Mantra, I believe, he writes that the fruition, the proper fruition of mature chanting of the Kamadev Gayatri is that you will take what kind of birth? Anybody know? Female birth in Vrajadham. In Vrajadham. We worship women. In this material world, which is called Devi Dham, you cannot go very far in your material enjoyment unless you serve women. It's a fact. But even in the spiritual world, you have to serve women. If you want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, Ramya Kachir Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Yakalpita. They embody everything that is taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly this principle, Trinadapi Sunichena Duroriva Sishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. In his Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Sanatana Goswami describes that pure love of Godhead, Krishna Prema, mature love of Godhead, is actually nothing other than absolute and unconditional humility. And these gopis have that. They have that. So how much do we have to learn from them? We have everything. We're worshiping their lotus feet. They're considered the best of all Krishna's devotees, and particularly Srimati Radharani. Very beautiful verse given about Srimati Radharani from Prabodhananda Saraswati. He says, Vidagdha Sindhu. We've talked about in the material world what happens when women are Vidagdha. What does Vidagdha mean? Anybody remember? If you were listening attentively, how I translated it? I said it meant clever. You see? Vidagdha Sindhu. She's an ocean of expertise, is another way we can translate it. Vidagdha Sindhu. Anuragara Saika Sindhu. And she is a unique ocean of attachment. Attachment. The rasa of attachment to Krishna. Anuragara Saika Sindhu. Vatsalya Sindhu. She is an ocean of love for the devotees. Like a mother, motherly love. Vatsalya means, or strictly speaking, vatsalya means the love that a cow has for her calf. Because govatsa means, vatsa means calf. So vatsalya means that love, you see? She's an ocean of that kind of love. Vatsalya Sindhu. Ati sandra kripaika Sindhu. And she's the singular ocean of highly concentrated, intensified compassion, mercy. Srimati Radharani. Lavanya Sindhu. She is an ocean of charm. And she is an ocean of beauty. He says, therefore, Srimati Radharani, please reveal the ocean of your activities within my heart. Beautiful prayer. So we worship these gopis, we worship Srimati Radharani, we try to emulate them and embody all of their qualities. But we have some ways to go. And the way that we do that in the beginning, we first of all become human beings. We do that by following Manu and other authorities that Prabhupada has endorsed here in the verses that I've quoted. Once we're human beings, then we can apply Krishna consciousness, because only human beings can become Krishna conscious. Animals cannot. And when we make advancement in spiritual life, then we begin to recognize that all duality, even the duality that we find in this material world, it really only reflects the ultimate reality of pure spiritual existence. And there are all the things that are flaws in this material world, they become the greatest assets in the spiritual world. That's why we take shelter of those that at least one Vaishnavacharya, Vallabhacharya, he calls them tamasic devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan. He calls them tamasic. But this is transcendental tamoguna. They're not always, by material estimation, the greater. They're uneducated. They're village women. But they have this love, and they have this unconditional humility that Sanatana Goswami says is really that the essence of that prema. They have this. But therefore, even great acharyas are taking shelter of their lotus feet. Why else is Shukdev Goswami talking so much? He's written these 9 cantos just to prepare us for accommodating the wondrous attitude of these gopis. Okay, so we've said a few things here. I think the time is running out, so I'm going to have to cut it short. But if anybody has any questions or any comments about Badri Narayan Maharaj, you want to say something?
I'll just ask the first one. It's a detailed question. But you're talking about women's qualities, and it says shyness, set X amount, and then boldness. So how do you balance both their shyness?
Sahasa. Sahasa means they're prepared to do something, I think. Maybe gumption is another way to try. How do you know that you have this word in Hindi? Sahas.
Hindi
mein hoti hai?
Sahas is Hindi.
To iska matlab kya hai?
Courage,
yeah, himmat. they're not afraid to do something, you see? When they want what they want, because they want things 8 times more, therefore the courage is automatically produced. The desire is stronger, therefore.
So they can be shy,
yeah.
But when called upon, I'm thinking about, yes, when you run out and grab their child and
That's right. That's
so
right.
So the shyness is there, but there's also, at particular times, flashes of great courage.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, just we want to counterbalance things, the negative shlokas that we said about their flaws. Krishna also gives those qualities in Bhagavad Gita, famous. So many. Medha, Smriti, all of these things. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do you have another question or no?
Well, the other one again was a detail. I've heard, you know, the fourth type of evidence and parampara, sometimes it's presented as not just from our acharyas, but it's like the accumulated societal wisdom.
Yes, yes.
Perhaps it's folk knowledge. So is that what we're also talking about? Is another
parampara? It means both. It means both. Because the society, this is a very complex topic. I wrote an essay about this some years ago, you may have seen. It's a subtle topic because the society itself is the conduit of the transmission of parampara sanskriti, which means paramparagat sanskriti, which means traditional culture. The society itself is the conduit. It cannot inhere in one person totally because it's a social entity by nature. It can only, by its very nature, inhere in the society itself. Therefore, the social norm, the social convention is another way we might translate it. That is the praman.
Can we flip it around? If you don't have the society, it's difficult to deliver the knowledge.
Yes. Yes. This is an important point. I think that's why Krishna mentions it. Certainly, it seems to me why Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing the social development of ISKCON in his later years as well. Without the social body being in place, no one person in society can do his or her dharma unless the others are doing it as well. Because it's nothing if not symbiotic. Interdependence. This is the thing that we dislike in the modern mindset, rejects this. We don't like to be dependent. You see? But the very essence of traditional Vedic culture is mutual dependence. And it's not just the women who are dependent. It's everybody is dependent. You see? It's a very, very important point, but one that's too big to restrict to one answer. It's the subject of another lecture. Did you have a question?
Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for focusing in the auspicious month of Kartani Vrat. My question is, if the Lord Brahma, the father of the living entities of the universe, who is the mother of the living entities of the universe?
Yes.
As per the Srimad Bhagavatam and one of five scriptures. Please mention. Hare Krishna.
Okay, I'm going to bookmark your question and take the question by my godbrother, Vishnumurti. You want to hand him the microphone? Yeah, that is a correct answer. It's also correct to say that he was agitated. Even Lord Shiva becomes agitated because why else did he do it? It was just like this. In the Shastras it's stated that knowledge, great knowledge without humility or gentleness, it's as useless as the tail of a dog. Why? Because the tail of a dog neither can swish away flies very effectively, neither it can cover up what it should. So someone listening to this point in a lecture, this was in South India, they asked the question, well, if the tail of a dog is useless, then, you know, why does it exist? This is my point. And then the person was very quick-witted and said, well, the reason that the tail of a dog exists is so that I can give this example in this lecture. So that's a kind of a similar logic here. Is that okay? Okay, as to your question, who is the mother? If Brahma is the father, then who is the mother? The mother is also Brahma. Because swadehartham, swadeha, the word is used here. It, out of his own body he created, it says. You see?
Thank you very much for consideration. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Any other questions? Otherwise it's very late. I think we should probably stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.